Okay. So I was trying to figure out what I was going to talk about, and a lot of topics are pretty classic and probably heard a lot about before, but I figured the one thing that is probably not talked enough about in Shalvim is Chesed, right? Because, like, you're learning all day, which you should be, but hopefully in the next half hour or so, I will try to show you and try to prove to you, as if this needed any proof, that you should also be doing Chesed. Maybe not, like, during Seder, but, like, I don't know, on Fridays or something, whatever. Okay, we'll see. Anyway, so to start, I'd just like to point out, well, first of all, I'd like to thank everyone for coming, and listen, it's like way past my bedtime, but I know you guys are all up late, which is great, which is awesome. But today's Daf, for those of you who ventured into the waters of Daf Yomi, which I imagine is all of you, and then most of you will be out of it in a couple of weeks. But today's Daf is Brachos Daf Chaf. There is a very famous and very odd story on today's Daf of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan would sit outside of the mikvah, and when women came out of the mikvah, they would look at him because he was handsome, and then they would think about him, and they would have beautiful kids. It's a very weird story. But suffice it to say, the Gemara wants to know, how is this mutter for him to do? Isn't he bringing ayin hara upon himself? The Gemara says, no, because Rabbi Yochanan was Mizara de Yosef Kasin. He was a descendant of Yosef, and Yosef, we know, of course, is protected from ayin hara, right? We already know this in Parshas Vayechi, right? Yosef is described as Bein Poras Yosef, Bein Poras Alei Ayin, right? Which Rashi quotes from the Gemara, from today's Daf, Al Tikrei Alei Ayin, Al Olei Ayin, that he was able to somehow overcome the issue of ayin hara. How exactly does Yosef overcome the issue of ayin hara? So it's a very fascinating pshat given by the Toras Chaim. It appears both in Bava Metzia, Daf Pei Dalet, where this identical Gemara appears. It also appears in Bava Basra, Daf Kuf Yud Ches. Somehow it doesn't appear in Brachos, but it appears in those two Gemaras, where he basically says that this idea of an ayin hara presupposes or it assumes that there's nothing interposing. There's no chatzitza in between the ayin and the thing that you are trying to look upon. For example, we know, of course, in Parshas Kisisa, the whole concept of Machatzis HaShekel is meant to prevent, Ayin Hara is meant to prevent bad things from happening to Klal Yisrael. The question is, how does that prevent anything? I still see the people that I'm counting. So who cares if they put a coin into my hand? How does that solve anything? So the answer is because there's some medium, there's something in between the actual act of counting and the people, namely the coin, that somehow prevents Ayin Hara from happening. He also quotes Alpi Kabbalah, I don't really know what this means, but he says that when a Nida, when a Nida looks in a mirror, blood spots start appearing in the mirror, based in Kabbalah or something. That's like almost a literal translation of the concept of ayin hara. The point is, though, is that there's this idea, an ayin hara literally means an evil eye. So hopefully what we're going to try to talk about tonight is the opposite of that, which is what it means to have an ayin tov, what it means to do chesed, and more specifically, how do we incorporate chesed into a life of Torah? So that's going to be the starting point. So the first, okay. How many of you here are on the WhatsApp group called Torah Kula? How many of you are not on the WhatsApp? Okay, actually not that many of you. Okay, whatever. But okay, some of you. So some of you might have heard this first part of what I'm about to say, but it's literally just the next 2 minutes. So just bear with me for the next 2 minutes. There is a Gemara also in Maseches Brachos, and Daf Dalet Amud Beis. So a lot of you should remember that Gemara. The Gemara talks about Malach Michael and Malach Gavriel, right? The Gemara contrasts Malach Michael to Malach Gavriel. The Gemara says that Malach Michael carries out HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shlichas with Pricha Achas, with one flap of the wings, whereas Malach Gavriel requires two. The Gemara also talks about Eliyahu and Malach Amavis, which we're not going to talk about right now. But basically, the Gemara says that Malach Michael carries out his Shlichas in half the time as Malach Gavriel. What's the difference? So the Marsha basically explains that Malach Michael represents Rachamim, and he has a lot of rayas for this, represents Rachamim, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants Michael to carry out his Shlichas as quickly as possible, whereas Malach Gavriel represents Din, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants him to basically drag out his Shlichas so that people have a chance to do tshuva in the middle. So that is the Gemara in Brachos. There's also a Gemara on Dav Vav Amud Aleph in Brachos. It also appears in Shabbos. It appears in a few other places in Shas too. The Gemara quotes a pasuk from Sefer Malachi, right? The Gemara cites the words Ulechoshvei Shemo, which the Gemara understands to mean that if a person is planning, is intending to do a mitzvah, and then he's ne'ena, something happens that's beyond his control that prevents him from doing the mitzvah, the Gemara says, we consider it ki'ilu he actually did the mitzvah, ki'ilu he gets the schar for the mitzvah. Many achronim point out, including Rav Avadji Yosef and Yabia Omer, including Rav Yosef Engel and Asvin Doraisa, and many, many other achronim make this ha'ara, that concept is only true regarding mitzvos bein adam l'mako. Meaning, if I was planning to put on tefillin this morning, and then I somehow lost my tefillin, I still get schar ki'ilu I put on my tefillin. However, when it comes to mitzvos bein adam l'chavero, for example, I was planning to give money to a poor person, and I have no money in my wallet, I get no schar. On the other hand, if I begrudgingly hand money to the honey, I get schar. It's not obviously ideal. I shouldn't be doing that. But at least I get schar for what I did. The reason is, according to these achronim, is because mitzvos ben adam lechavero are completely totza'a oriented. It's all about the end result. So we don't really care what your machshava is when you do mitzvos ben adam lechavero. All we really care about, was the result met out or not? That's the only issue that we're trying to figure out. So again, we've mentioned so far this idea regarding ben adam lechavero, regarding how we treat other people. It's all about the end result. Did I help the other person or not? There's also a Gemara in Maseches Avodah Zarah. In the Gemara of Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis says that if a person only has Torah without Chesed, the Gemara says that if a person was only Osik B'Torah, implying that he doesn't have Chesed, the Gemara says Doma Kemi She'ein Lo Eloah. It says if he doesn't have a God, which the Gemara uses that same exact expression regarding a person who lives in Chutz La'aretz. Right? The Gemara uses that expression. I shouldn't be one to plug living in Eretz Yisrael. I should be, but I'm not, unfortunately. The Gemara says that if a person only learns Torah and has nothing else, implying he's lacking Chesed, it's as if he doesn't have a God. What's the reason for that? The Marsha says in that Gemara because he's not emulating HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu also acts with Chesed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu also treats others with Chesed. So the fact that we're not incorporating Chesed into our lives shows that there's a chisaron in our emunah b'Hashem, in the way that we actually interact with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's also a pretty well-known Gemara in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Chesed Amud Aleph, where the Gemara says that both Rabbah and Abaye were descendants of the family of Eli. There was a curse on the family of Eli that the people of that family would die young. But the Gemara says that Abaye lived till 60, whereas Rabbah only lived until 40. The reason being because Abaye was both Osik B'Torah and Chesed, but Rabbah merely learned Torah. So again, you see from this Gemara that the Midah of Chesed is so intrinsic, it's so important, not just to be a good person, but it actually enhances your own spiritual life as well. And according to the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, it even gives you Arichus Yamin. There is a very well-known and important comment made by Rav Nisim Gaon in his Hagdama to Shas. Rav Nisim Gaon in his Hagdama to Shas points out that non-Jews, we know of course, have Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach, but those are not the only mitzvos in which they are mitzvah. They also have to keep basically what he refers to as mitzvos sichlios, right? Mitzvos that anyone would have figured out on their own, like Kibud Avim, like Tzedakah, like Chesed, those types of mitzvos, Rav Nisim Gaon claims, non-Jews are equally obligated in those mitzvos. And by the way, that is the same logic that the Ramban in Parshas Noach uses to justify how it was that a Kadosh Baruch Hu could have wiped out the entire Dor HaMabul, which is pretty good kasha, because there was no Azhara. Like, how could he just wipe out the entire Dor HaMabul? There was no Azhara. And the answer is, because all the things they were doing were obviously problematic. You should know not to do what the Dor HaMabul was doing. So the Ramban says they don't need an Azhara. It's pashut that they could be wiped out based on the averus that they did. So again, that those two ideas, both the Rav Nisim Gaon and the Ramban, are emphasizing the notion that every single individual in the world, not just Jews, are also obligated to do things that are logical, that are chesed, that are ben adam lechaveru oriented. Revolbi and Ali Shur, not an expert in Ali Shur at all, and this source I only... Okay, backstory. After my Shana Aleph, there was a Rebbe here, Rev Zimmerman. Most of you probably don't know who he is, but he left after my Shana Aleph. So he was the Shana Bet Rebbe. He was like the Rev Turetsky of that year. Whatever. So my Shana Bet was only Rav Nussbacher. So he was the Rebbe beforehand. So I went to a shir that he gave about Chesed. It was like an hour and a half, 2 hour shir. And some of the Makoros that I have are from that shir. So this is Ali Shur came from there. Unfortunately, I'm not a Baki in Ali Shur yet. Hopefully one day. But this is how I got this source. So in Ali Shur, Chelek Aleph Perek Yudalit, he discusses the concept of Chesed. And he says something which is like so pashut and so obvious, but like the Maseches Sharm says, sometimes obvious things have to be stated. And he says that Chesed is not just about money. It's not just about helping people financially. He says sometimes something as simple and as easy as smiling at a person, right? You know, Sefer Panim Yafos, can actually be a greater form of Chesed than helping people financially. We know from Parashas Chayisara, Eliezer was looking for someone for Yitzchak who was a Gomelas Chesed, right? Looking for a wife who would be a Balas Chesed, that she would go out of her way to also feed the camels. Now, Rav, he also quotes a story in the Alei Shur regarding the following case. There was one time a person who came to a Rav on Erev Pesach, and he asked the Rav, can you be Yotze the mitzvah of Dalet Kosos with milk? Now, this is not the Rav Soloveitchik story that some of you might know about milk and kaslav. I think that's a different story. He doesn't quote names in the story, so I'm not 100% sure who this story is about. But basically, this guy comes to a Rav on Erev Pesach and says, can I be Yotze Dalet Kosos with milk? And the Rav basically says no. And he gives the guy, I don't know, like a few hundred, I don't know, rubles, whatever it was. And the guy had enough money to go buy like everything for Pesach. So this one, like onlooker who was watching what was going on, he's like, the guy asked you a shayla, you gave him like 500 rubles. What was going on? So he said, sometimes you need to be sensitive to what the person is really asking. Does the guy really care about whether in the Shulchan Aruch you're yotzei if you use milk? The guy clearly is struggling financially. He doesn't have enough money to provide for his seder. I'm giving him money so he can put food on the table. Right? Sometimes we get so caught up in like the nitty-gritty, which is not always a bad thing, we kind of lose sight of the bigger picture. Right? What is this guy really asking? He really wants to know, you know, how am I going to afford to support my family and to, you know, and to provide for a Pesach Seder? So the answer was, I'm going to give you money. He wasn't really interested in whether you'd be yotze with milk or not. That's one point that the Ali Shor points out. The Ramak, Rav Moshe Cordovero, in the Tomer Dvora in Perek Zion, discusses the midah of Tiferes. Right, Tiferes literally means beauty or splendor, but typically I think, and again, this sefer is more Kabbalistic, but it generally means, you know, equilibrium, balance, right? The idea of Tiferes means to balance different things. So the Tomer Devorah writes that part of the balance that comes along with learning Torah is the fact that Torah is meant to connect you to other people, right? We know, of course, we all know Pirkei Avos, right? The last parak, which is not really Mishnah, is the, right, the 48 ways of connecting to Torah. One of them is Dibur Chaverim, right? You need to be able to connect to people to learn Torah. If you just sit in a box all day and you just learn on your own, you're never going to actually learn properly. In fact, there was a Marsha on the Gemara in Brachos, back on Daf Vav, I think it was, where the Gemara contrasted two people who learn Torah to one person, where the Gemara says that when two people learn Torah, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Michtavan Milayu B'Sefer HaZichronos. Hashem, you know, writes down what, you know, they're learning, but if a person is learning on his own, he doesn't write it down. What's the difference? So the Marsha says, because when two people learn, there's a higher probability that if one person says the wrong pshat, the other guy will correct him. So Hashem is only going to write down what's emes. When one guy learns on his own, if he says the wrong pshat, no one's going to stop him. No one's going to correct him. So therefore, you need to have interaction with other people in order, even if you want to be selfish about your own Talmud Torah, you don't want to care about anybody else, even if that were true, you still need to connect to other people in order to ensure that your Torah learning itself is valid and is also correct. Okay, one of my favorite parshas Sfarim, which I started learning this year, is the Haksav HaKabbalah, Rav Yaakov C. Mecklenburg. And in last week's parsha, in Parsha Shmos, he comments on the pasuk of Vayifan Ko Vacho Vayar Ki Einish, which we know, of course, from Rashi, where Rashi quotes the Medrash that Moshe was looking to see if anyone was going to come out of this mitzri that was worth not killing him for. Haksav HaKabbalah has a much more pashut way to understand this pasuk. Vayifan Ko Vacho. He says that Moshe was looking, he wasn't looking at the mitzri to see if there was going to be a kosher descendant coming from him. He was looking around to wait and see if another Jew would step up and actually do something about this Jew who was being beaten by the mitzri. And when Moshe realized that no one was doing anything about it, so the Mishnah of Pirkei Avos says, Hishtad Eliyosish, he had to stand up, he had to be the man, he had to take action. So the pasuk Vayifan Ko Vacho Vayar Ki Ein Ish means that Moshe was waiting for a Jew to come and help. And when he saw no one was helping, Moshe realized, I have to be the one to step in. Okay, a couple of points from the Maharal. The Maharal in Nesivos Olam, in the Nesiv of Gemilas Chasadim, discusses a couple of points regarding the interplay or the interaction between Torah and Chesed. So we're all theoretically learning Baba Kama this year, right? The end of the first parak on Daf Yud Zayin, the Gemara quotes a pasuk, Meshalchei Regel Hashor V'Hachamar. I mean, the Gemara earlier quotes the pasuk also. What does that pasuk mean? So the Maharal says that Meshalchei Regel Hashor V'Hachamar refers to a person who is both Osek in Torah as well as in Chesed. If you do that, then your zechus is that you're going to merit to live in Beis Olamos, to live in two worlds. You merit the Chesed and the beauty that's associated with Yosef that we spoke about earlier, right? Ben Poras Yosef. And also, the Chamor refers to the Torah of Yisachar, which we know, of course, Yisachar Chamor Garem is an allusion to Talmud Torah. Also, just this kind of a side point, Rav Chaim Shmulevitz in last week's parsha Sichos Musar asks the following kashya. The Gemara Megillah tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu had multiple names, right? He had, you know, 7, 8, 9, whatever it was. Why do we call him Moshe? Moshe was a name given to him by Bas Paro. If anything, we should call him Avigdor, Zanoah, Hikusia, or all the names that the Gemara Megillah lists. So says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, because since Bas Paro was Moser Nefesh, he violated Paro's decree in order to save Moshe Rabbeinu, every leader needs to have a trait of Mesiras Nefesh infused within them. Therefore, the name that Bas Paro gave to Moshe was the name that stuck, because that name implied something that was necessary for him to be a leader in the future. So the Maharal also has an interesting Ha'ara here. He says that the purpose of Torah ultimately is chesed. Now, if the purpose of Torah is chesed, why then did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say that we have onshim for doing aviros? He says the whole point of an onesh is to remove the evil, to remove all that bad stuff and get to the chesed. Now, I don't think he's even talking from a Kabbalistic perspective of removing klipos. He's just saying remove the bad and get to the core of the Torah, which is the chesed. Onshim are almost like a necessary evil. You need to have onshim in place, so this way we can get back to the root of what Torah is really all about. The Maharal also points out, which we said this before, that tzedakah is something that can only be done with an ani. Chesed, in contrast to tzedakah, can be done with anybody. Right? You can, as we saw before from the Ali Shur, you can smile at anybody and you can make their day, and that would also be fine. Maharal also says that the gematria of Torah and gemilas chasadim are both 611 because they're basically two parts of the same coin. You can't have Torah without chesed and chesed without Torah. In the Hagdama to the Nefesh HaChaim, so his son, Rav Yitzchak Volozhin, discusses what was the maila, what was the godless of Rav Chaim Volozhiner, and he says basically that his greatness of Rav Chaim Volozhiner was the fact that he assisted and he helped out those people who were in need. And many of you might know the story about Rav Chaim Soloveitchik also, right? Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, he wanted on his kever to only be written that he was like an ish chesed, right? That was the thing that he wanted to be known for, despite the fact that he was a gaon olam. That wasn't the thing that he lived by. That wasn't the thing that defined him. Rather, it was his chesed. Okay. How many of you here have heard Rav Yamar quote the Hakdamah to the Shari Yosher? All of us? You all know it? Baal Peh? No? Okay. So I'll just say it outside. I assume a lot of you have already heard it before because this is the first place that I heard it, even though I was never in Rav Yamar here, but you know, everyone knows the Hakdamah to the Shari Yosher and Shalom. I assume it's like required reading. But it actually is required reading, by the way. It's very good. You should read through it. Basically, the Shari Yosher in his Hakdamah just says the following idea. He says that we need to strike a balance between working on ourselves and also incorporating and being part of the larger tzibur. He says, we know, of course, in the Mishnah of Avos, Rahilah says, "Im ein ani li mili ucha ani la atzmi ma'ani." So the Shari Yosher basically says that our avodah in life is to expand our sense of anochios, to expand our I. In other words, we shouldn't look at ourselves as just me, but that I am part of a larger tzibur, I'm part of a larger klal. That can mean the yeshiva, that can mean klal yisrael, that can mean a lot of things. You have to look at yourself and you have to expand your sense of self. Famously, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Yantif that if a person spends Yantif just eating and drinking and they just enjoy themselves, but they don't invite in other people who are less fortunate, you're kind of missing the point of Simchas Yantif, right? You're not really fulfilling the mitzvah of Simchas Yantif to the greatest extent possible. Okay. Rav Ezra still gives Shana Befan, right? Okay. I have a story. I didn't necessarily remember this story because I remembered everything from Shana Befan from 7 years ago, but I actually have notes on Shana Befan and I actually looked over them a little while ago. So don't be choshe that I remember everything from Shana Befan, although I probably should. But anyway, Rav Ezra had a story in Shana Befan. I don't remember exactly what like the topic was he was talking about. But, I mean, actually I do. He was talking about being sensitive to your surroundings, which is kind of what we're talking about now also. Basically, there was a story of this guy who was getting married, and I think it was like his father-in-law or something was like dancing in the circle after he came out of the yichud room, and like no one realized that it was his father-in-law, so all the guys wanted to like get into the circle, and they all kind of accidentally like shoved him out of the way. And this one guy was like aware of the fact that, you know, either he knew or he realized that was the father-in-law, and he like pushed him into the middle, and the father-in-law was happy, and everyone loved everyone. So that was great. So his point was that sometimes something which is so small, it could even be unintentional. You could not be aware that the father-in-law was there. It's not your fault. You just had no clue who he was. Sometimes you just have to be more aware of your surroundings. Sometimes you just have to be more sensitive about things. So... The Chafetz Chaim in his Hakdama, the Sefer Avos Chesed, writes, and he makes this point a number of times, that the Torah warns us about the mitzvah, the concept of Chesed, in 8 different places. The Torah tells us, and again, he goes through all the psukim, about where the Torah warns us to do Chesed to other people. Rav Kook, in his Sefer Musar Avicha, writes that the primary avoda that we have in our lives is to rectify, to fix all of our actions, and to use our actions in a positive sense. And Rav Kook says that if you abuse your midos and you use them negatively, you are effectively going to destroy the world. Now, there are 2 Gemaras and 1 comment of the Rambam that all effectively are going to say the same idea. So, first of all, we have a Gemara in Yevamos. So, Gemara in Yevamos on Daf Ayin Tes Amud Aleph says that and this is based also on an idea from Pirkei Avos. There are 3 simanim that define Klal Yisrael, that we're Rachmanim, Baishanim, and Gomli Chasadim. Right? One of the salient features of a Jew is that we're Gomli Chasadim. We do Chesed. Right? That is one of the things that is definitional to who we are. The Rambam in Hilchos Matnos Aniyim in Perikir Alacha Aleph basically says the same idea. He says that any person who doesn't give tzedakah, you have to be choshesh that they're not not Mizera Avraham Avinu, because Avraham is the definition of chesed. If you don't follow in that mindset, so maybe you're really not Jewish. Maybe you're not really Mizera Avraham. There's also a Gemara at the end of Maseches Beitza, Daf Lamed Beis Amid Beis, that has a story about this guy, Shabsi Bar Marinas. He comes to Bavel, and all the people, and everyone in Bavel is not giving him a place to stay. They're not providing him with any food. And he says about the people in Bavel, he says, we have to be choshu that these guys maybe are descendants of the Erev Rav. Because if they were really Jewish, they wouldn't act this way. Because Jews act with Rachmanas. So you see from these Gemaras that the idea of chesed, it's not just we have to do chesed. Chesed is part of our DNA. Chesed is part of who we are. We're born with the idea that we are supposed to act with others with chesed. The Maharal in Vuras Hashem in Perichav Ches also points out probably the most famous Gemara in Maseches Nida, that when the baby is born, the Malach hits the baby and he forgets all his Torah. So the Maharal writes that the purpose of forgetting your Torah is because once you were initially taught Torah in the womb, the Torah shapes your life and it allows you to act with chesed. You may not remember a single word of Torah you learned while in the womb, but at least when you're born, you will have that intrinsic Mida of chesed that we spoke about before that will be part of you. Rav Chaim Volozhiner in his Sefer Ruach Chaim on Pirkei Avos has the following very important Hara, and he talks about it also in a slightly different context in Nefesh HaChaim as well. He basically says that prior to Matan Torah, so we know that even though the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says that the world operates on Torah, Avoda, and Gemilas Chasadim, the Torah part wasn't really present Kodem Matan Torah. Now, even though we know the Gemara in Yuma says that, you know, the Avos kept the Torah to a certain extent, but basically the Torah was a little bit more fluid Kodem Matan Torah, because the Avos maybe kept some of the mitzvos, and you know, we know Yaakov married two sisters and Amram married his aunt, all these exceptions to the rule. So the two standards that existed prior to Matan Torah were Chesed and were Avoda. So for example, Kodem Matan Torah, a person shechts, you know, violates the, or not violates, but a person shechts an animal outside of the Azara and offers as a karban, that's great. You're offering a karban to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You do that today, it's an Isra Doraisa called Shechut Yichut. You're Chayav Karis for that. You know, Kodem Matan Torah, you lend a person money with interest, that's great. You do that today, you're Chayav, you know, that's an Avira, and according to the Gemara Bava Metzia, you're not coming back in Tchias Adisim, right? It's a very, very big transition from what it was Kodem Matan Torah to the Achar Matan Torah. The Gemara says that Rabbi Akiva, for example, one time he moved a mace from where the mace was, and the Gemara says about that Rabbi Akiva was Mischayev ben Avsho for that, because again, he didn't know any better, right? So the Gemara says, but nonetheless, in other words, he thought he was doing a chesed, and yet his chesed was completely misguided. And according to the Ruach Chaim, that shot in the Mishnah in Avos, the lo ama aretz chesed. In other words, if you don't know the halacha, you can never really be a chesed. You can never really be a pious person if you don't know what you're doing. You can think that you're doing chesed, but your chesed is completely misguided if it's not framed in the context of Torah. Okay, now, kind of transitioning a little bit to talking about not just how we do chesed ourselves, but the way that we should actually view other people. So there is what seem to be two competing gemaras. There's a gemara in Moed Katan Daf Chaf Hey, where the gemara says that if a person, we know of course that a person has to tear kriya if one of the Shiva Krovim die, but if you're in the room at the time that any person dies, any Jew dies, right, regardless of whether they're related to you or not, you also tear kriya. Why is that? The gemara gives a mushel. The gemara says, Lamazda Doma, let's say for Torah Shenisraf, Shechayev Lekroa. It's the equivalent of a Sefer Torah being burnt where there is an obligation to tear kriya. There's also a gemara at the end of Maseches Makos and Daf Chaf Beis where Rava says, "Kama tipshay shar inshe de kaimi mikami sefer Torah, lo kaimi mikami gav Rava." How foolish are those people who only stand up for a sefer Torah, but not for actual talmidei chachamim? The ilu b'sefer Torah k'siv arba'im v'asur rabbanan batz ruchada. Because we know the Torah says that if a person doesn't have air that carries a chi of malchus, he gets 40 malchus. And yet we know that 40 really means 39. So these rabbis are redefining or reinterpreting what it says in the Torah. So you're only standing for the Torah, which we don't even take literally in every single instance. So how foolish are you to not stand for the rabbis who are redefining the Torah that we actually keep to this day? The question is, why does the Gemara in Makos use this as a model? So there are a number of shatim, just because we're kind of running out of time, but basically in the Sefer Daf al Adaf, which I actually first discovered in the Otzer here like 7 or 8 years ago, it's basically just like a raid on a lot of Masechtas. It's like Chasidus and Kabbalah and Machshava and Lamdas. It's like a very interesting Sefer. So he quotes that the reason why the Gemara uses specifically this example about Makos and not, for example, Sfiras Omer. The Torah says you have to count 50 days, and we know 50 really means 49. That would have also been a good example for the Gemara to use to prove that the Chachamim are quote-unquote redefining the Torah. Why don't we use that example? Because the definition that the Gemara in Makos is focusing on is specifically about Makos, about hitting, about striking another Jew. you have to realize that that these people, these chachamim, are so. In other words, the way the Gemara classifies them is that they're considered a gavarabba because they are trying to instill fear within you from striking and hitting another Jew. Also, he also has a bunch of stories here that, you know, in a certain community, there was a Sefer Torah that fell twice on Simchas Torah, and apparently some other Rav told them the reason why this happened was because you're not showing proper kavod harav to the Rav of your town. And again, he says that if a person says that if you, in other words, as we saw from the Gemara before in Avodah Zarah, if you only have Torah without Chesed, you don't even have Torah. Because if you don't show respect to, for example, the Chachmei Hador, so how do you know that Ukshartam lo'osal yodecha v'hayilu totavos b'ninecha is not literal, right? You know, like the Tzedukim, right? The only reason why we know that that's not literal is because the Chachamim are defining for us what the Torah actually means. And just to tie this in a little bit to this week's Parsha, so he also points out in the Sefer Daf al Adaf, when Moshe lifts up his hands by Makas Barad, so what does the pasuk say? Umatar lo nitach arza, right? It stopped hailing, the rain stopped, in other words, like the hail cube stopped in midair. Because the tzaddik, Moshe Rabbeinu, can minimize the peronius. The chachamim can minimize the number of makos. Makos barad is an allusion to this idea of makos. Okay, just to, really don't have enough time to finish all this, but I'll try this really quickly. Okay, so Rav Gusman in the Kuntrasei Shiurim basically says that we have to distance ourselves from nezek because the Torah is derachei hadarchei noam. The Gemara in Sukkah says that if you use a lulav that has thorns in it, it's pasul because it's a violation of derachei hadarchei noam. The ways of the Torah have to be pleasant. There's basically a huge machlokas in Rishonim and Achronim about why certain mitzvot don't have brachos on it, like Mishloach Manos, like Tzedakah. There's a million mitzvot like this. So one of the reasons that the Sri Deish famously quotes is because it has to be totally b'achirim. If you have a mitzvah that depends on the other person accepting your gift or accepting your money, so you don't know if they're actually going to accept it from you, so therefore you can't make a brach on it. Another reason is because you should want to give it willingly and it shouldn't be given against your will. You also shouldn't make the person into your chetz shel mitzvah. Other Rishonim say that the reason is because you can't say Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu on things that everyone in the world does, even non-Jews, right? Like things like chesed and kibud avim and things like that. Also, before I forget this, we're actually almost done. I'll end with this last point. The Maharal in Gur Aryeh in Parshas Mishpatim on the pasuk of Im Kesef Talvezami. I don't remember if I heard this from Rav Cohen. I think I might have heard this from Rav Cohen. I don't remember, but I heard this pasuk a long time ago, and this is like the one Gur Aryeh that I know, like, actually. So basically, the Maharal says, we know that Rashi quotes based on the Gemara, Im Kesef is one of the three exceptions where the word Im is a chiyuv, it's a chova, right? You have to lend money to a person who needs it. And the obvious question the Maharal asks is, so then why did the Torah just write it kasher? Why did the Torah use the word Im? And in other words, use a misleading word. So the Maharal says a beautiful thing. He says, because you should want to, you know, to lend money to other people out of the goodness of your heart, but lemaisa, it's still a chova to do. You still have to do it, regardless of whether you actually want to do it or not. I'll end off with a story. Have any of you ever heard the story of Kitty Genovese? Anyone heard that name before? Okay, like two people. Okay, a few people. Basically, in 1964, this is like the bystander effect story. There's some like machlukas in the New York Times whether the details of the story are actually accurate. So I don't really know, but I'll just tell you this was the original version of the story. In 1964, there was this woman, this 28-year-old woman named Kitty Genovese, who was coming back from some shift at work. It was like 3 o'clock in the morning. She lived in Queens, and she was stabbed outside of her apartment. And apparently, there were 138 people. No, sorry, 38 people. That's still a lot. There were 38 people who walked by her and did nothing about it. They just literally saw her bleeding out, and she ended up dying. Now, apparently, there's been like some machlokas about the details of the story, whether that was actually true, whether really 38 people. I don't know. I don't know. I wasn't born. I have no clue. But the bottom line is, assuming that the story was actually true and actually happened, I think that the message of the story is pretty obvious, right? When you see something happening around you, right? You know, like, you see something, say something. Like, that's kind of what this religion is about. When you see something bad happening around you, you should do something about it. And again, I think this is an important lesson in general. When it comes to chesed is not something I think, personally, that's spoken enough about in yeshiva, which, again, I kind of get because you're spending your entire day learning, which you should be. You should be learning as often as you possibly can. But in those hours or those days when you're not, whether it's a Friday, whether it's, I don't know, a Motzei Shabbos, whether it's a whatever, take the time to do something nice for other people. It can literally be in yeshiva also. You don't have to like necessarily go to a hospital and go like, I don't know, whatever. I mean, you know, you can do that too. That's also a good thing to do. Point is that we should just all be more sensitized to, you know, to everyone around us, and we should try to just become better people, which will hopefully also enhance our Talmud Torah.